Hey, and welcome back to Sunday Replay. My name is Jace, and today we're celebrating Pentecost. Now, by the time this episode comes out, Pentecost will have passed, but this is the day, once a year, that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit after Jesus' ascension when he returned to heaven, and it's also considered the birthday of the global church, the day that the Church of Jesus Christ was founded, and the church that we live into today is the day that it started. So we're really happy to celebrate Pentecost. Today, you're going to hear a reflection on what Pentecost means for us in 2024. You're going to hear stories from members of our faith community as we celebrate the birthday of the global church. And also stay tuned till the end of this episode for a special announcement too. For now, here's Pastor Mark with a reflection on Pentecost.
Who here has ever been to a high school sporting event? Okay, pretty overwhelming. And now I'm really also leaning more on basketball games and football games. Yes, okay, all right. So this may take you back a decade or two. Flashbacks. Now, do you remember the cheerleaders in their uniforms that match the school colors? Yes, very colorful. Now, and their enthusiasm, their passion, oh, they were so excited, and they would just try to rouse the crowd. Get them more involved into the game. Now, in Texas, football is king. Well, outside of Jesus. And during football games, I remember hearing one particular cheer that came and they would go up and it was like, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits a dollar, all for the rebels, stand up and holler. Woo! And everybody stand up and holler and go crazy. Now, there would be moments in the game when there would sort of be a lull. Everything was very intense, and there was not a lot of excitement going on in the stands, so the cheerleaders, they would decide, we got to bring this up a notch, and then they would yell, we've got spirit, yes we do, we've got spirit, how about you? And then across the field, the other team's cheerleaders, well, they would shout it back. And they would yell it right back at us. And then sort of it got the crowds going and the enthusiasm, both sides. It was a respond and yell. And that same cheer is going back and forth, getting louder and louder. We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? You could feel the spirit. Wow. The passion, the fire spread all throughout the crowds. Well, today, we celebrate what is known as Pentecost. And it's a day that marks a transformative event in the history of our faith. It's a day that commemorates the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the disciples, igniting a fire that would spread across the world and change it forever. And I want to spend a few minutes talking and sharing about why Pentecost is important for us, as well as what occurred prior. So 50 days prior was Jesus' resurrection. Now that was an amazing turnaround from the moment of despair and distraught that had been felt by his followers. I mean, this was upon the crucifixion. And then for the first 40 days, Jesus continued to teach his disciples, and he was helping them understand the scriptures and what those meant, as well as what concerned himself, while also preparing them for their mission. Now, what is known as the Great Commission, Jesus stated, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Well, as we're told in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, in verses 4 and 5, Jesus ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for God and what God had promised. And he said, this is what you have heard from me, John baptized by water, but only in a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Well, then in verse 9, after Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud took him from their sight. Jesus ascended into heaven. Ooh, that had been quite a sight. But then, wait, how long are they going to be waiting for? And for what? What are they going to be waiting for? Well, they are told the Holy Spirit, but what in the world was that? Well, the disciples, they had no personal experience of the Holy Spirit, yet being Jewish, they were familiar with the Holy Spirit's role in the Old Testament. And they knew the Spirit as the power of God working in creation and in prophecy and in special empowerments for service. For example, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, as it is written, "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David right there in front of his brothers. The Lord's Spirit came over David from that point forward." In addition, Jesus had spoken about the Holy Spirit with the disciples, referring to it as the Comforter, the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. Nevertheless, their understanding was, well, it was pretty limited, and they really weren't fully grasping this concept, the extent of this promise, and how it's going to transform their lives and their ministry. And then 10 days pass. This is 50 days after Easter, and there is a celebration to be had. And it's called the Feast of Pentecost, and it's more commonly known as the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, which is a day-long harvest festival. Now, here's a did you know. Did you know that this feast was as well attended as Passover? Yeah, indeed. There was never a more international crowd and gathering in Jerusalem as at the time of Pentecost. Because, I'm also emphasizing international. Now, on the one hand, the festival had a historical significance. It commemorated the giving of the law of Moses on Mount Sinai. On the other hand, it had an agricultural significance. Because at Passover, part of the first crop of barley, it was offered to God. Well, at Pentecost, two loaves of bread were offered in gratitude for the safe gathering in of the harvest. Now, I want to point one other thing out about this festival. It was a holiday. It was a holiday to celebrate. And the law stated that on this day, don't you work. It was a day off. Now, what did that mean? Well, that meant that the crowds on the streets were even going to be larger than ever. Well, early on the morning of the festival, before everything kicked into high gear, the disciples, they gathered together in worship. And they gathered in behind locked doors. And as a religious minority and living a faith that the majority of Galilee didn't, well, they wanted to support each other. Well, then, during their time of worship, something elevated, totally unexpected, and I'm talking big time, and we're told in the first four verses in the second chapter of Acts that as the disciples worshiped, there was a noise so loud that it couldn't be ignored. So startled were they that they lost control of themselves, and their sensory systems were flooded with adrenaline so that their minds and their bodies processed intensely the sound and the energy and the feeling of the coming of the Holy Spirit. She had come as Jesus had promised, and it was an experience rather than something cognitive. Rational theological reflection? That could not adequately explain the knowledge conveyed in this sensory event. Once fearful and uncertain, these apostles were transformed into bold witnesses for Christ. We've got Spirit. Yes, we do. We've got Spirit. How about you? And with a rush of the Spirit power, these Galilean disciples, they left that room and they were enabled to proclaim the gospel message in the tongues of the diverse international peoples gathered in Jerusalem. A dividing wall was broken down. And this is when Peter, this is the same Peter who denied Jesus three times. Confidently, Peter proclaimed Jesus' resurrection. And it was such an impactful cheerleading sermon that verse 41 states, "Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, God brought about 3,000 people into the community on that day. The fire of Spirit spread throughout the land. On that first Pentecost, which we consider to be the church's birthday, people from various nations, people who spoke different languages, they were brought together by the Spirit. And as the late Dr. Albert Ottler, he was a world-renowned Methodist theologian and Wesleyan scholar, he expressed, Pentecost's consequence was that Jesus became alive again and powerful and forever thereafter present wherever two or more are gathered in his name. Jesus was no longer a has-been. Thus, the early church community was formed, establishing foundational aspects of what it means to be the church, devoted to the apostles' teaching, and to sharing meals together with gladness and simplicity, and being mission-driven, along with being in prayer with one another. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness for everyone. What about now? Well, the what about now is that Pentecost is not merely a historical event. It is a living reality. The very same Spirit that empowered the apostles is available to us today. This Spirit is a gift from the divine Creator. It's a source of comfort and guidance and strength. Just as the apostles were empowered by this to spread the gospel, we too, friends, we are called to be witnesses of Christ's love and grace into the world. The Holy Spirit has equipped us with gifts that we need to serve and build up the body of Christ. Whether that's through teaching or hospitality or advocacy of justice, even cheerleading. Friends, we are given unique talents to contribute to God's mission. Don't hold those back. Don't you dare hold those gifts back. For we are called for a bigger picture by a big God with a big word expanding out into a big world. The Holy Spirit is a transformative power, renewing our hearts and our minds. In our personal lives and as a church, we are continually being shaped in the image of Christ. Well, what does this process require of us? It requires us to be open to change, to repent of our shortcomings, and to seek the Lord's guidance in everything that we do. In similar fashion, the United Methodist Church, during its General Conference in Charlotte, North Carolina, experienced a Pentecost moment. Being witnesses of Christ's love and grace in the world, being open to change, being led by the Spirit to take steps in becoming a more inclusive, affirming denomination. The UMC's decision represents the Spirit's movement. I'm saying that again, represents the Spirit's movement, breaking down barriers and creating space for all of God's children, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, or background. By affirming the dignity and worth of LGBTQ plus individuals, the church embraces a fuller expression of the divine's diverse creation, recognizing that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? The UMC is committing itself to love and justice. The UMC has been Spirit-filled and Spirit-led to live into its call to embody the radical inclusivity of Jesus' ministry and love. Pentecost reminds us and challenges us to boldly speak to the church as we are and about the church Christ would have us be. Well, how do we move forward with the Spirit leading us? Well, among the ways, prayer. Prayer is important. Last Sunday, we focused on prayer in my message. And friends, we must cultivate a life of prayer. seeking the Spirit's guidance in all of the aspects of our lives. Through prayer, what we do is we open ourselves up to God's will, allowing Spirit to guide us and lead us in the decisions that we are to make and the actions we live into. Just as the early church relied on prayer and discernment, let us be open. Let us be open to the ways that Spirit may lead us into new and unexpected ways and directions, for the Spirit's movement and work is always ongoing. Witness. The apostles, they weren't afraid any longer. They weren't afraid to proclaim the gospel, even in the face of persecution. And we too must be courageous in sharing our affirming faith, standing up for justice and speaking out against injustice. As the late Reverend Dr. James Hal Cone, he was a Methodist preacher and minister, and he was known for his advocacy for black liberation theology. And he stated, "Pentecost is a reminder of the Holy Spirit's power to liberate and energize those who are oppressed, to break chains of injustice, and to inspire movements for social change." Nurture. The UMC's decision to be inclusive is just the beginning. The church now has got to step it up, and they have to nurture a culture where love and acceptance are at the forefront, not in the background, not hidden, not shut away, and certainly not kept in the closet. This involves creating safe and affirming spaces for all individuals, offering pastoral care that affirms each person's identity, and celebrating the gifts that LGBTQ+ individuals and members bring to the body of Christ. This means UMC, and I'm calling you out, United Methodist Church, ordaining and empowering LGBTQ+ individuals to serve in all levels of ministry, providing platforms for diverse voices, and ensuring that decision-making bodies are representative of the entire community. All means all. Amen? As I bring this message now to a close, I want to share a quote with you by one of my favorite authors, and he was a New Testament scholar. His name was Marcus Borg, and he was among one of the most widely known and influential voices in liberal Christianity. And he said, "Pentecost is the celebration of God's presence within us and among us, empowering us to live out the radical inclusivity and love that Jesus preached." Harmony Faith Community, as we celebrate Pentecost, let us remember the historical significance as well as embrace the importance for us today. The Holy Spirit, she is powerful. She is a powerful force. And she helps transform and empower us for mission, uniting us in diversity and renewing us for the work ahead. Let us move forward with confidence, knowing that the Spirit is with us, and she is guiding us, and she is sustaining us, and may we be filled with fire of the Holy Spirit, ready to shine Christ's light into the world this day and always. Amen? Amen.
It's time for the Sunday Replay Halftime Show, where every week we take a few moments to talk about opportunities that you have to connect with the faith community. First, LA Pride is coming up on June 9th, and I love that we are a part of a church that participates in Pride, doing the work that's required of us to show the LGBTQIA+ community that the hurt that the church has caused for so many generations is not something that the church of today is called to live into, and I can't wait for us to participate in Pride this year. So if you'd like to participate in the LA Pride Parade with our church, it's happening on June 9th. You will need to sign up to be on our bus that we are using to participate in the parade. And to sign up, you can contact Kevin Wheeler, and his email is community@hollywoodumc.org. Also, on that day, we won't be having worship services at Harmony, but if you're not able to participate in the Pride Parade, you can join our Hollywood campus worship service at 11 a.m. Also, we have a homeless ministry working group that would love to have you be a part of the work that they're doing. This is a group of individuals that meets sometimes in person, but usually online, to discuss ways that we can impact our community and support those who are living with houselessness, and then takes those ideas and concepts and puts them into action to advocate for change that needs to happen in our city, as well as to provide services and support for our homeless neighbors. So if you'd like to participate in the homeless working group, you can contact Pastor Bridie, and her email is Pastor Bridie, that's Bridie, at HollywoodUMC.org. This week on the Harmony Podcast Network, we have a new episode of Our Story, the podcast. And speaking of our stories, we have some stories from members of the faith community that we're going to share with you today. So in order, you're going to hear from Antoine, Jamie, and Joey as they share about their faith.
Antoine, so here we go. Just a quick question. What brings you joy about Jesus? What brings that fire within you?
To me, the thing about Jesus is I think the way that he sacrificed himself for the greater good and for always being honest and dedicated to his honesty and being true to himself. Mm. And I think to me, reflecting on his life and his teachings helps me kind of anchor myself to that. And it always helps me to push myself forward and to keep going and to keep, you know, trying to always be better. Yeah.
Nice. Well, and that's going to tie into my message today. So from the Harmony perspective, what has brought you here? What keeps you here?
So I'll start by briefly saying that I grew up with my mom being from Catholic kind of upbringing and my dad being Muslim. And then my mom slowly went into Buddhism too. And growing up, it was really kind of confusing. And I didn't really know where I stood. And last year, I walked in here because I live around the corner, and I feel like I think the sense of community and meeting everyone here and being in a place where everyone's kind of strives to do good, but also being connected and doing all the extra activities and helping in the neighborhood and everything, that really meant a lot to me. And so, yeah, I've just kept coming, and it's been amazing.
Well, it has been amazing to have you and Bree here, and your brother is in the house today, so hello. And so thank you for sharing.
I've always believed in God, and in times of uncertainty, I knew he would give me the strength and support I needed if I just reached out to him. But yet looming in the background was always this sense of fear and intimidation, and that created a wedge in my relationship with God. So like a plant without water, my faith was really wilting. No matter how many different services I tried and attended, I couldn't find the spiritual connection with God that I was looking for. Then 2 years ago, I moved to California for a job. And periodically, I would drive by Harmony on my way to run errands. And it always struck me as how quaint and welcoming it was. And so one Sunday, I decided to attend service. And as I approached the church, I saw this tall vertical flag waving, the huge rainbow, and a tent with greeters offering me water. And automatically, I looked up at the rainbow, and I just saw it as it's symbolizing the bridge I needed to connect me to God. And the water, well, that was the sustenance I needed so that my faith was no longer wilting. Harmony truly revived my faith journey.
Good morning, church family. Happy Pentecost Sunday. When I think about what lit my fire in my faith, I think of a few things. I think of God's love that is unconditional to all of us. I think of his forgiveness. I think of those situations that I've put myself into in my life from bad decisions that I've made, that God has always looked out for me and protected me. And I also think about some of the illnesses that I've had over the years. God is always and continues to keep his healing hands on me through it all. The most recent would be getting back onto the kidney transplant list about a month or so ago. That took lots of appointments and doctors and prayers, but God is with me always, and that's what keeps my faith strong. And as for what led my journey to Harmony, well, I bounced around from different churches, but there's no church that is as welcoming and inclusive as this church. From the first day that I walked into this church back in January of 2020, I was greeted with love and I was greeted with compassion and have made so many friends here, and I truly believe that there's no church like Harmony Toluca Lake out there.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay. Our guests this week were Pastor Mark Stevenson, Antoine Fadavi, Jamie Prince, and Joey Naranjo. This episode was produced by Donna Miller and hosted by me, Jace Lucas. Sunday Replay is a part of the Harmony Podcast Network from Harmony Toluca Lake, a campus of Hollywood United Methodist Church. You can find us on Facebook or on Instagram by searching for Harmony Toluca Lake. We would really appreciate if you could subscribe to Sunday Replay to make sure that you don't miss any updates when we put out new episodes. So it's called something different on every platform that you listen on. It might be called subscribe, it might be called follow, but whatever you can do to become a part of the Sunday Replay community that gets regular updates when new episodes come out on Tuesdays, we would be so grateful if you could just click that little subscribe button. Now, friends, I hope you'll tune in next week for a new episode of Sunday Replay, but I also am sad to share that it is going to be my last show with you. I'll be moving on to some new opportunities. I work in the communications industry and am taking a little bit of a shift in my career, but I am going to be listening into Sunday Replay even after I'm gone from hosting and supporting the Harmony Toluca Lake Faith Community and the Harmony Podcast Network, because I believe so strongly in the work that we are doing to show the world the inclusive love of Jesus Christ. So I, again, will be here next week, and I would love if we could connect again then. But after that, we're excited to share that Donna Miller, our amazing producer, will be taking over as host of Sunday Replay. So be sure to tune in 2 weeks for her first episode. Until then, thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Sunday Replay. And as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.